Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Kim adyatasmin karaniyam ashume. Yadartha tantra navihanti vikramam. Striyasvasur guru matya vadhoyam. Yasya sriyam hantyanu kalamayu. Kim adyatasmin karaniyam ashume. Yad artha tantra navihanti vikramam. Striyasvasur guru matya vadhumityam. Yashastriyam hantyanukalamayuhu. Kim adyatasmin karaniyam ashume. Yad artha tantra navihanti vikramam. Striyasvasur guru matya vadhoyam. Yashastriyam hantyanu kalamayuhu. Vaishnavis. Kim, what? Adya, now, immediately. Tasmin, in this situation. Karaniyam, it is to be done. Ashu, without delay. May, my duty. Yet, because. Artha Tantraha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always determined to protect the sadhus and kill the asadhus. Na, does not. Vihanti, give up. Vikramam, his prowess. Striyaha, of a woman. Svasu, of my sister. Guru Matyaha, especially when she is pregnant. Vadha Ayam, the killing. Yashaha, fame. Sriyam, opulence. Hanti, will vanquish. Anukalam, forever. Ayu, and the duration of life. Translation. Kangsa thought, what is my duty now? The Supreme Lord, who knows his purpose, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadushkritam, will not give up his prowess. Devaki is a woman. She is my sister, and moreover, she is now pregnant. If I kill her, my reputation, opulence, and duration of life will certainly be vanquished. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. According to Vedic principles, a woman, a brahmana, an old man, a child, and a cow should never be killed. It appears that Kamsa, although a great enemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was aware of the Vedic culture and conscious of the fact that the soul transmigrates from one body to another and that one suffers in the next life according to the karmas of this life. Therefore, he was afraid of killing Devaki, since she was a woman, she was his sister, and she was pregnant. A kshatriya becomes famous by performing heroic acts. But what would be heroic about killing a woman who, while confined in his custody, was under his shelter? Therefore, he did not want to act drastically by killing Devaki. Kamsa's enemy was within Devaki's womb, but killing an enemy in such a nescient state would not be an exhibition of prowess. According to Kshatriya rules, an enemy should be fought face to face and with proper weapons. Then, if the enemy is killed, the victor becomes famous. Kamsa very conscientiously deliberated upon these facts and therefore refrained from killing Devaki, although he was completely confident that his enemy had already appeared within her womb. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tatati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. First ask for the blessings of the senior Vaishnavas that I may speak properly and our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta is given to us by Srila Prabhupada. So in today's verse, we're seeing something very interesting. Kamsa, who is a demon, starting to get very introspective. You know, we know in the previous verses how he was observing Devaki and her illuminating the entire atmosphere of his place. And he's observing that she is now pregnant with his enemy, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is causing him to become very introspective. What is my duty now? If I kill her, what will happen to my reputation, opulence, and duration of life? It will all be vanquished. What should I do? And Srila Prabhupada, in the first part of this purport, he talks about how, according to Vedic principles, these five should never be killed: a woman, a Brahmin, an old man, a child, and a cow. But why? Why shouldn't they be killed in, under any circumstance? And Srila Prabhupada answers this very very fluently in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 8, text 5, in the purport. He goes through each one and why they should not be killed. So the Brahmins, they should not be killed because the Brahmins are the head of the society. They oversee Varna and Ashram. They're cultivating spiritual life. And for a society to really be a human civilization rather than an animal civilization, the science of Varnashram has to be implemented. And so the Brahmins, they're the head of the society. The four different Varnas, we understand, make up a body. The Brahmanas being the head, Kshatriyas being the arms, Vaishyas the torso, Sudras the legs. Now a body cannot function at all without a head. But we can understand also that a body cannot really function without legs or in arms very well. So all society has to be maintained properly through the science of Varnashram. Of course, in Kali Yuga, the whole system is in disarray. But the Brahmanas, they try to see that everybody's engaged in their proper duty so they can worship the Lord. So Brahman should never be killed. Cows, they should never be killed because they're giving the best foodstuff, the milk, which nourishes the brain. And when the brain is nourished by milk, then one can understand the higher aims of life. Women, they should never be killed because by protecting women, you're maintaining the chastity of the society. A woman gives birth to children. And this is why children also, they should be protected, because children are the future. If the women and children, they're not protected, then what will the future look like? And the elderly, old men, the elderly should not be killed because they're at their final stages and they're at a point where they can perfect their life. They should be retiring and perfecting their life. So they should be given all protection. The Kshatriya is supposed to protect all of them. And Srila Prabhupada, he points out in the purport that in Kali Yuga, because the women are not protected, then there's Varna Shankara. And we can see in Kali Yuga that due to the society that we live in, the women are very much exploited. They're made to be objects rather than subjects. And most of the time, their bodies are being used to sell products in our neoliberal capitalistic society. And the children are very much not protected also. They're being sent to schools. And during that schooling, they're made to be very confused about life, basically set up to be workers, obedient to the materialistic society. So all of these five, they should be maintained so that we have a healthy society. They should be protected. They should never be killed, so that society will be a healthy society, a human civilization that can understand the higher aims of life. And Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he makes a very interesting point about how what to speak of these forbidden to be killed just by insulting one of these, one's duration of life will be shortened. And Srila Prabhupada says that because Kali Yuga is what it is, they're being insulted, they're not being protected, and that's why the duration of life is being shortened. And so when Kamsa talks about, if I kill her, my reputation, opulence, and duration of life will certainly be vanquished, it's because even if you insult a Brahmin, cow, woman, child, or elderly person, your duration of life will be shortened. What to speak of killing them? So this is the problem that we're facing in this society, is that these five are not being given proper protection. We can see even the elderly are being sent off to homes because the elderly cannot be maintained properly. And my mom, whenever I talk with her, she's always telling me, oh, you better watch out for your Social Security. They're going to take away your Social Security. So another part of our society where they're just after the money, trying to even take the money that's used to maintain the elderly so that they can focus on properly dying, the end of their life. And we see that even in that purport, Srila Prabhupada was talking about how even insulting these five, that the duration of life is shortened. We see that the story of Draupadi, the battle of Kurukshetra, happened because basically Draupadi was insulted. She was the most chaste woman. And because of her being insulted by Dushasana, all of the miscreants were killed. So this is very important for us to think about in our society, protecting these five. Srila Prabhupada makes the point in today's purport that Kamsa was aware of the Vedic culture. Now, this is very interesting because we usually think of the demons as being against Vedic culture. But we see in the scriptures, in the Shastras, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Bali Maharaj, Jarasandha, they're all demons. They're against Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And yet, seemingly, they're following Vedic culture in certain circumstances. But we can see that their following of Vedic culture is not for the betterment of society. It's for selfish motivations. It's for selfish motives. Kamsa, he's not thinking, oh, if I kill Devaki, then I'll disrupt Vedic culture. Because we can see that he's already imprisoned his father. He's already killed children. Just think, he's already killed children, but now he's having second thoughts of killing his sister who's pregnant. So he's thinking very selfishly, what's going to happen to my reputation, my opulence, my life? You know, he's not thinking about the society at large. He's just thinking about himself. So this is the demoniac mentality, that they're constantly thinking about themselves, their selfish motives, rather than the betterment of everybody else. And so they'll follow Vedic principles, Vedic culture, as long as it's good for them. And we see this very much with Jarasandha. We understand the pastime in Krishna book. We read the pastime where Yudhishthira Maharaj, he wanted to engage in the Rajasuya Yajna. Now the Rajasuya Yajna can only be performed by the emperor of the world. And so he made this desire known to Krishna, that I would like to perform the Rajasuya Yajna. But to do this, all the kings in the world have to obey the one king. They have to understand that Yudhishthira Maharaj is the emperor of the entire world. So he sent out his five brothers and others to all the neighboring kings, all the kings in the land. And rather than just start war with them, Srila Prabhupada explains in Krishna book that they were to go to the king and say that Yudhishthira Maharaj, he's the king of the world, please give taxes to him. And if they gave taxes, then they were under the rule of Yudhishthira Maharaj. But if not, there could be a battle. They could fight and defeat that king and then establish Yudhishthira Maharaj as the emperor of the world. And so all of the kings in the land, they very much wanted Yudhishthira Maharaj to be king, except for one, Jarasandha. Jarasandha would not bow down to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And so Krishna, he could see the anxiety of Yudhishthira Maharaj to perform the Rajasuya Yajna, and so he devised a plan, because he understood that Jarasandha, he's a demon, he's against the Supreme Lord, he's against so-called Vedic principles for the society, but he had one good quality, which was that he was very submissive to the brahmanas. Him being a proper householder and a kshatriya, he was maintaining Vedic culture, even though he was against the Supreme Lord, who is Vedic culture. And so Krishna devised that himself, Arjuna, and Bhima would dress up like brahmanas, and they would go and beg charity from Jarasandha. So they went to the palace of Jarasandha dressed up like brahmanas. And Krishna spoke first to Jarasandha, saying that, "My dear sir, we've come to your palace to beg for charity. You're a very charitable person." And he started preaching to him in a very interesting way that's very suitable for today's class. He started speaking to him about how fame in this world, charity, all these things, it's not going to last, but you should give everything. You should even give your body, just like Rantidev, Harishchandra, the great kings of the past, Shibi Maharaj, they gave even their bodies up in the devotional service of the Lord. And we heard from Srila Prabhupada's books about Shibi Maharaj. Maharaj Shibi was such a king that he vowed that he was going to protect everybody. Just like these five should be protected, he vowed that he was going to protect everybody in his kingdom. And so one day Indra and Agnidev, they took the form of an eagle and a pigeon. And this eagle and pigeon, they flew into the palace of Maharaj Shibi. And the eagle was going to eat the pigeon. But Maharaj Shibi, he vowed that, "I'm going to protect this pigeon." The pigeon flew onto his lap, and he wouldn't let the eagle come near the pigeon. The eagle said, "But you're supposed to maintain everybody in your kingdom. You're supposed to protect them. I'm an eagle. I eat pigeon. So how are you going to maintain me?" And Maharaj Shibi said, "I'm not going to give you this pigeon meat, but I will give you flesh from my own body, and you can eat this." And so the eagle said, "Okay, I want as much of your flesh as the pigeon weighs. We'll put it on a scale." So they put the pigeon on the scale, and he started cutting off parts of his flesh and putting it on the scale. And he kept cutting, but as much flesh that would you would think equal to the pigeon, it wouldn't. So finally he put his whole body onto the scale. He was ready to sacrifice his whole body for this pigeon. And when he did this, Indradev and Agnidev, they manifested themselves and they blessed him. And so Maharaj Shibi, Rantidev, Harishchandra, we see that they're glorified for all time because of their charitable disposition. Because they were protecting the brahmanas, cows, women, children, elderly. They were ready to give everything to the brahmanas. So Krishna, he speaks these pastimes to Jarasandha to encourage him to give charity to the brahmanas, to give everything, even his own body. And Jarasandha, while Krishna was speaking, he started looking at these brahmanas. And he said, "These are very funny looking brahmanas. You know, I'm looking at their arms. Their arms have scars. They're very beautifully built. Their voices are deep. Are these really brahmanas? Their shoulders have bow where they keep their bows." And he said, "And I think I've seen these people before." And so he started thinking like Bali Maharaj. And we've heard about Bali Maharaj, about how he kind of had an idea that Vamanadeva was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so he wanted to give everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What to speak of Vamanadeva being a Brahmana and him understanding that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bali Maharaj was a demon. He was a Rakshasa. And yet he was willing to give everything to the Brahmanas. And so Jarasandha, he started thinking like this. Now, we can understand a little bit also that, just like before I mentioned how the demons, they follow Vedic culture when it's good for them. They understand that when you're charitable and you're taking care of the Brahmanas, the Brahmins give you blessings and you get Brahmatejas, power. You get power from protecting the Brahmanas as a Kshatriya. So he thought, even if they're not Brahmanas, whoever they may be, I will give them charity. And so Krishna said, actually, we're not Brahmanas. It is me, Krishna, Arjuna, and Bhima, and we want to fight you. This is the charity that we're asking. We want to fight with you. And Jarasandha started laughing, and he said, you fools. That's what he said to them, you fools. He started laughing. And he said, Krishna, I'm not going to fight with you. You're a coward. You've run away. You're not equal to me. Which is even more hilarious because Krishna had defeated him already 17 times. We understand that Jarasandha, his daughters were actually married to Kamsa. And so when Kamsa was killed, Jarasandha was so angry that he took phalanxes and phalanxes, thousands and thousands of troops with him, and attacked Mathura. Krishna and Balaram, they had chariots that descended from the spiritual world, and they slaughtered all of the army of Jarasandha. Only Jarasandha was standing on the battlefield all alone, and he was feeling depressed. And Balaram bound him up and arrested him. And Krishna, he had a plan that I'm going to relieve the world of so many demons, so I want to attack his troops again and again and again. So they let Jarasandha go. Again, Jarasandha came back with phalanxes, armies, tried to attack Krishna, the same thing. 17 times, Jarasandha was defeated. But yet here he's calling Krishna a coward. And so he said to Arjuna that, Arjuna, you're younger than me, so you're not my equal. Only Bhima is able to fight with me. And so he gave Bhima a club, and they started fighting. Like two elephants smashing together. And they fought for 28 days. They fought, Jarasandha and Bhima. And finally, on the 28th day, Krishna revealed the secret of Jarasandha's birth. Jarasandha was actually born split in two. And his father, thinking that the son is useless, he threw the body into the forest. And there was a witch named Jara, and she took the two halves of the boy and she put him together. Henceforth his name, Jarasandha, brought together by Jara. And so Bhima, he looked over at Krishna, and Krishna, he took a blade of grass and he split it. And so he understood what he was supposed to do by the Supreme Personality of Godhead's intelligence. Jarasandha was knocked down, and he grabbed the leg of Jarasandha. He put his foot down and ripped Jarasandha in half from anus to the head. And Jarasandha was killed. But we see that Jarasandha, he was a demon, but yet he was willing to give everything to the Brahmanas. He was willing to follow Vedic culture for his own personal self-interest. So obviously, we should understand that we should not be like this. And we see that Jarasandha, all these personalities, they went down in infamy. You know, they're not spoken very highly of in the Shastra. But we see Rantidev, Harishchandra, Bali Maharaj, all these great personalities who followed Vedic culture and surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their fame will go on and on and on. And also, today we can see that the heroes of modern civilization, you know, usually the heroes of modern civilization, it's because they have the most wealth. Maybe some of them are, you know, have intelligence, but mostly it's because of wealth. They claim that they have the most money, the most houses, opulent cars. And because of this, they're seen as heroes, but it doesn't last. It's taken away at the time of death, and hardly any of them are remembered. Like the kings of the Shastra. And so, Kamsa, due to his impending death, he's becoming very introspective, which is something that we can learn from Kamsa, is that he's thinking, what is my duty now? What is my reputation, my opulence, duration of life? He wants to go down as a hero, even though he's done so many sinful activities already, what to speak of being against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He wants to go down as a proper kshatriya, as a hero. And so also we should think about our own selves. What is our reputation? What is our duration of life? What are we doing? Where are we going? What is our goals? As a society, as individually, we're all going to leave these bodies. But just as Krishna told Jarasandha, use your body, give it up for devotional service. Give it to the brahmanas. And we can understand that this body, mind, and soul should be used in the service of our guru and Srila Prabhupada's mission. Srila Prabhupada was such an example of giving his everything to his spiritual master. And us being aspiring devotees, some of you are very great souls, and I don't mean to speak for you, but speaking for myself, there's so much that I know that I can do better in my own life. There's so much that I can reflect on as time goes on and learn from mistakes. And really, when we stay in sadhu sangha, when we stay in the association of devotees, then we can learn from devotees, especially senior Vaishnavas who've been practicing devotional service for many, many years. They have so much knowledge and so much guidance that they can give us. And sometimes in New Dwarka, it can be taken for granted that we're amongst such great Vaishnavas. It's really a blessing to be in New Dwarka because you can make so much advancement, and we're all giving our bodies in for the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Srila Prabhupada, whether we're in the kitchen cutting vegetables, cleaning the temple room, distributing books, whatever our service is doing, we're all serving the Sankirtan Yajna, going out in Harinam. We're all serving the Sankirtan Yajna. We're all giving this body, mind, and soul to the spiritual master. And of course, there's going to be times where we're really struggling and there's so much going on around us. But if we stay within the sadhu sangha, if we stay in the association of especially more advanced devotees, then it'll allow us to be really introspective of what we're doing, where we're going, and what our goals are. And by that, we can make a lot of advancement. So we should be very introspective, as Bhagavad Gita states, introspective sage, looking within, seeing what our mental state is, where we're going. So I'll stop here. If anybody has any comments or questions. Bhrigupati Prabhu, Archita Prabhu.
Thank you for a very nice class, Bal Gopal. One very practical question that would arise out of today's purport and your presentation is, if these five are to be absolutely not killed, then it can be exploited by your enemies, as we see in today's society. Generally, there's still this fearlessness of women, especially if they're beautiful. And the enemy exploits that. Rajiv Gandhi was killed by a woman, you know, with a bomb. And even today in the Middle East, it still goes on. These women come with their burqas, they're hiding bombs, and people just naturally respect them because they're women and they don't suspect them, and boom, they blow you up. So is this to be taken absolutely? You don't, or you have to, do you have a right to protect yourself if you know this woman has a bomb and you have to protect yourself, your family, your community, whatever? How are you to see that?
Well, That's a very interesting question. I'm sure that you can give us more insight. You've obviously thought about this. But it does seem that, you know, I don't exactly know how you're going to protect yourself from a suicide bomber. Or, you know, there's so many women out there who will do so many things. What to speak of children these days of doing very horrible activities. Of course, we should protect ourselves. Narada Muni, there's the pastime of the snake showing his fangs. And so we do what we can to protect ourselves. But when we're speaking of this, it's specifically of protecting them and not wanting to, you know, if you make it a point of not killing somebody in the shastras and protecting them for the betterment of society, we have to understand that also, that it's for the betterment of society. And so it's making a point that the kshatriya, which there are no kshatriyas today, which to speak of, you know, really brahmanas overseeing kshatriyas, there's going to be such a disarray in Kali Yuga. So this is the idea that we want and that we can focus. And our point is that we can focus within our society on these things, you know, international society for Krishna consciousness. Whereas the society at large, Kali Yuga, it's in such a disarray right now that we have to protect ourselves from what we can.
Thank you. Nice class. I'd like to add something to your answer there, just if that's okay, and then I'll ask my question.
Yeah.
Judah Karma sometimes makes the point, you know, sometimes somebody's using, quoting from Prabhupada to, you know, make a point about a particular subject. And I've heard him say more than once, he says, well, you, actually, if to do that, you really have to look at all the statements that Prabhupada made about that subject. So in the same way, there's this Vedic injunction in the purport that women, children, Brahmins, etc., are supposed to be protected. But at the same time, you have to look at all the Vedic injunctions. Like, there's also a Vedic injunction, Prabhupada quotes it in the purport to chapter 1, text 36, here in the Bhagavad Gita, that there's six kinds of aggressors that can immediately be killed. And one of them is somebody who attacks with deadly weapons, a poison giver, somebody who sets fire to your house, steals your wife, steals your land, steals your, like that. You see? So that's there as well. So there's always like a hierarchy of principles. And, you know, Prabhupada himself would quote, discrimination is the better part of valor. So I think in certain situations it would be, you know, be okay. You could.
But then one might object to that, saying, yeah, Ashwatthama, he was an aggressor. And Krishna wanted him killed. But yet they had to find a way that Draupadi was also pleased because a brahmana should not be killed.
Yeah, well,
so they had to use their intelligence to so-called kill him, but not kill him.
Right. That's what
so even the Vedic injunction is there. Again, like taking everything into...
It's not black and white.
Yeah.
It's linear discrimination. Here's my question, though. So Kamsa was such a, you know, demoniac personality, and it seems to me kind of strange that he's worried about his reputation, or certainly that he's concerned that by offending great souls, I'm going to lose my opulence. He seems to believe in karma. He seems to believe in reincarnation. It seems a bit inconsistent to me, because, like, how is it that such a demoniac personality is even believing in those things, what to speak of concern in that? I mean, you know, like, karma and reincarnation just don't dangle out in space. There's got to be like a whole supernatural administration supporting the, you know, that the existence of that. So, I mean, could you give us some further insight into his, you know, worldview, his mentality, how he was thinking that it's possible that somebody like so demoniac like that is concerned to offend great souls and lose his opulence, is concerned about his next life? Why would, you know, it just seems strange to me that somebody of that nature, that character, that type of behavior would even be believe in those things, so to speak, would be concerned about those things.
I guess I tried to touch upon that in the beginning, where we see Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, all these demons, they were engaging in Vedic culture. Hiranyakashipu, they had to, you know, observe that Lord Shiva is higher than them, observe austerities, penances to get their benedictions, what to speak of seeing Lord Brahma. I mean, even Kamsa, when Narada Muni comes, he's not insulting Narada Muni. He's seeing Brahmins Jarasandha, but it's selfishly motivated. He's not following Vedic culture because I'm surrendered to the Supreme Personality of God and the Supreme Lord wants me to follow the Vedic injunctions, I'm going to follow the Vedic injunctions so that I get fame, so that I get reputation. And then if a Vedic injunction gets in the way of my happiness, well, then that can be broken, just like killing the children of Devaki. I mean, he was ready to kill Devaki at the very beginning, but then Vasudev had to speak him out of it. So even now here, you know, he's thinking my reputation, my, you know, he's not thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to follow Vedic culture because it's the right thing to do. I'm going to follow Vedic culture because it's good for me. You know, it's a way that I get power, it's a way that I get fame. But he's not thinking in a selfless way. And the rest of the demons are like that. Even Hiranyakashipu, you know, seemingly following Vedic culture, but then when it came time to lure out the Supreme Lord, attack the Brahmins, attack the, you know, attack those places where Vedic culture is maintained so that we can... And then even we see sometimes that the demigods, they go against the Vedic injunctions, you know, for seemingly selfish reasons. We see Indra killing Vishvarup because he was a Brahmana. He was the spiritual master at that time. And yet, because he was giving part of the oblations to the demons, Indradev cut off his heads, you know, which is, you know, Indra should know even more than Kamsa, even more than Hiranyakashipu about Vedic injunctions, and yet, because he's blinded by selfish interest, he goes against Vedic injunctions. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.